to the last case of the morning. That's United States versus Lynn Reddit. Mr. McGowan.
Before you take off, may I inquire as to the health of your compatriot and older companion?
My compatriot and older companion, Mr. Richard A. Parsons, is in fine fettle, as the court may see.
You look good to us.
Yeah.
You look good to us, too, over there.
May it please the court. My name is Andrew McGowan, and I'm a federal defender of the Central District of Illinois, and we represent the appellant in this case, Ms. Lynn Reddit. Ms. Reddit appealed the district court's rulings that allowed the prosecution to cross-examine her during trial about a misdemeanor that was over 10 years old and a related employment application series of questions. As usual in this case, the government's strongest argument is that if there were error, it was harmless. And I would submit to the court that the government's argument below to the district court during the trial undermines its argument now directly. As well, I would argue that many of the government's arguments in its brief indirectly undermine its credibility before this court, breaches its duty of candor. At trial, of course, the government argued vigorously to be allowed to cross-examine Ms. Reddit about this prior misdemeanor conviction for theft of electricity. Not only that, the government argued that they should be able to cross-examine her about the result of a lie detector test. To me, this says that they were worried at the time of trial about whether they would get a conviction or not, whether the evidence was sufficient. For them to argue now that, of course, we had a mountain of evidence is disingenuous. Indirectly, the government in its brief has argued, has failed to elicit facts that would establish arguments that it's made, and it's also failed to cite to this court probably ruling authority on at least one of the issues. Now, its first issue, the government argues that the should have been allowed to cross-examine Ms. Reddit about this misdemeanor conviction of over 10 years old because it is a crime of false statement. And as the court cites an older case that has dicta that a similar kind of case is a crime of false statement. However, as in my reply, I've directed this court to further later holdings of this court to establish that theft is not necessarily a crime of false statement. Now, trial counsel didn't object on this basis, and therefore I'm not able to specifically argue that that's one of the reasons why this shouldn't be, shouldn't the district court was in error ruling this way. However, I think it's an indication of the government's stance on this position. Furthermore, the government in its argument that it should have been allowed to cross-examine Ms. Reddit about the employment application simply states in its brief that defense counsel below failed to raise it and therefore it's been waived or forfeited. Now, to support this argument, the government didn't include any evidence about what happened below or why it believes that defense counsel didn't raise that.
You know, if we accept your argument that defense counsel's objection to the government's questioning about the employment application was also an objection to the admission of the application itself, what are we to do with the later waiver? Because the district court judge clearly asked trial counsel if he had any objection to the admission of the employment application, and the response was no.
Your Honor, I admitted that in my brief.
Yeah.
I introduced that issue simply because if this court remands for retrial, I think it would be not in the interest of justice to allow the government to introduce the evidence of the employment application again. And it was the only chance that I had to raise that issue. And it goes to whether this is going to be retried or not. I don't think in and of itself, because it was waived, that is a reversible error. So that's why I put that particular argument in. And as a third indication of the government's position on this lack of candor, it mischaracterized my argument about why I thought that it would be not just to allow this introduction of the employment application into the evidence. My argument is based entirely on the district court's allowing the questioning about the employment application, not, as the government says, that it's tied directly to my argument that it has to do with the cross-examination about the conviction. And I, like I said, I put that argument in there simply in case this court remands for retrial. I don't believe that it would be in the best interest of justice to allow that application to be reintroduced into evidence.
I had another question I'd kind of like to get out of the way here. Because your brief stated that to be admissible under Federal Rule of Evidence 609, the conviction must be a felony conviction, and you cited 609A1. But isn't 609-2 clear on its face that any type of prior admission is admissible if it involved dishonesty or false statement? And, you know, then if it isn't clear on its face, the commentary states that evidence of prior crimes of dishonesty are admissible without regard to the grade of the offense. So what I'm trying to get to is what support you have for the proposition that to be admissible under 609, a conviction has to be one for a felony.
Your Honor, I argued that because it wasn't clear from the record to me whether it was a felony or not. And I believe that that was the argument that was raised below by defense counsel. However, the alternative argument, the argument about the whether it's prejudicial value is substantially outweighed by its probative value, was raised below, and it applies to both whether it's a crime of false statement or a felony. And so when the government filed its response and included a copy of what it did about the conviction itself, and admitted that it was a misdemeanor, I simply relied on my argument that under 609, it still got to be the prejudicial effect, which is presumed.
But it can be a misdemeanor.
It could be a misdemeanor.
Okay.
I think the fact that it was a misdemeanor sort of undermines the government's argument that it was important. But the other thing about the misdemeanor is I don't believe that the jury knew it was a misdemeanor. Now, the jury may not have thought that.
I don't know if the jurors ever sit around and brood over what the difference between a felony and a misdemeanor. I mean,
I don't know either, but they could. It's a matter of record that there's a big difference between felonies and misdemeanors.
The constitutional requirement on impeachment is you be guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, so, you know, misdemeanor.
Your Honor, I'm not saying that simply because it's a misdemeanor, it shouldn't have been admitted. I am saying, though, that
the jury should be told it's a misdemeanor, like this is very significant to them.
Your Honor, I don't think that the jury should have heard about that conviction at all.
But we've arrived at the point that if it is a misdemeanor and it doesn't, its probative value is higher than its prejudicial value, it would go in.
Maybe slightly. However, in this case, Ms. Reddit actually.
That's like being a little pregnant. Either goes in or doesn't.
But in this case, Ms. Reddit didn't deny that she said those things. In fact, she admitted she was a liar on the stand when she was asked about what actually happened with the Postal Service. She said, I said all those things, yeah, but they weren't true. And because she said all those things, actually the government got all it needed from her testimony about the offense of the case. It didn't need this further misdemeanor.
But she went further. She said, I'm not telling the truth, and this is what really happened.
Yes, she did. And
our credibility comes back into play.
And if this prior misdemeanor had to do with a statement that she made, I would certainly be sympathetic with the court's questions. However, the theft of electricity, actually, her statements were that somebody else hooked up her house.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? People are stealing electricity.
Yes, but the jury shouldn't be advised of all the allegations of evil in the hearts of the defendant.
Even if it's stealing electricity.
Even if it's stealing electricity. Your Honor, if there are no more questions, I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Mr. Fox.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The district court did not abuse its discretion
in allowing the impeachment of Reddick using her prior conviction. I think it's been established that this is a crime of dishonesty. Her prior conviction was a crime of dishonesty. And the district court judge made the correct determination in weighing the probative value versus the prejudicial effect.
I have to say, after reading the brief, I don't understand why the defendant's credibility was all that important to the government in this case. I mean, the government has undelivered mail found in a dumpster very close to her house. She had been assigned to deliver the mail on the route to which the letters were intended to be delivered. The government had the word of three, no less, postal inspectors who swore that she had confessed to the crime, providing specific details known only to the perpetrator. How much probative value did this prior conviction add to all this?
Judge Rovner, this was central to the case because the witness, the defendant, got up and she said that basically the government's case was full of lies. She said that she did not put her language into the written statement, that the agent told her what to say. She said that what was in the written statement was not true. So her credibility became central to the case. The jury had to believe either her or the agent that testified in the government's case. So that is one of the reasons why the probative value was so high.
Are you nervous about the credibility of the agents? I mean, what? They strike you as being kind of suspicious-looking folk?
No, Your Honor, I don't think there was an issue as to the credibility of the agents, but whenever a defendant...
Well, I think what Judge Rovner is getting at is there is such a thing as overkill. Why create a problem?
Of course, when the judge makes this ruling...
Well, the judge only makes the ruling when you offer the evidence. He doesn't do it in the abstract. Unless you want to do the cross-examination, he has nothing to rule on.
Exactly, and at the time...
I want to know why he offered it. Why bother?
Well, at the time when it was offered...
A snicker would be sufficient, I think, to take care of the problem.
Judge, at the time that it was offered, this was, of course, after she testified on direct.
I understand.
And she hadn't been cross-examined yet, and you never know what's going to come out on cross-examination.
Well, you're doing the cross-examination. You got a pretty good idea what questions you ask. Don't the rules of... Never ask a question you don't know the answer to still apply?
Yes, Your Honor. And the other issue, though, is you don't know what the jury is thinking in its mind. So to say that the government proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt and the government should then not put in evidence that is allowable otherwise, that's a little bit...
Well, but you have 2 minutes. He could have said, nope, not a prayer, fella. You're not getting it in. And he would have been perfectly justified.
I think so, Your Honor, because that would have been within his discretion.
Yeah.
But I think that he made the correct determination that the probative value outweighed, the substantial outweighed.
It just seems to me as if the government is wanting it both ways. You were arguing that the evidence of the prior conviction is very important to your case. That the probative value is very high. Yet, at the same time, the government is arguing... that if there was error, the error was harmless because the government didn't need to attack her credibility in order to get a conviction. So what is it here?
Your Honor, admittedly, there is tension, and the way the rules of evidence and these tests are set up, there's always going to be tension because, of course, the government's always going to argue that its case was strong and there was no reversible error. Here especially was the case. But as soon as her... If you look at the government's case in chief in its entirety, and that's it, it was a strong case. But as soon as the defendant testifies, then all of a sudden, if the jury believes her, then it all goes out the window.
Would it have been possible for the government to have impeached Ms. Reddick by asking her if she lied on her employment application without mentioning the prior felony?
I think that there are two Seventh Circuit cases that address that. I think Howard is the one, and in Howard, the district court only allowed that question. Then there's the other case of Stuckman, where the district court allowed further questioning into the false statement, and it actually went into, well, there was a conviction. That was what the false statement was about. And this court affirmed both rulings, finding that it was within the district court's discretion to do it both ways. So the thing I want to point out about that issue, though, is at the district court level, the defendant objected under Rule 609. In the opening brief, the defendant objected under Rule 608 for the impeachment based on the false statement. And then in its reply brief, it objected under Rule 403. The government never had the opportunity to address this issue in the briefing because of this. They abandoned the 608 argument in the second issue, and they waived the 403 argument by not raising it in the second issue. The only other thing I want to address before I have you take this under advisement is there was no prejudicial value also in the first issue. Because the district court stated in a jury instruction that this should only go to her credibility, this barely was outside of the 10-year range under 609B, and it was not a serious offense. It was a crime of a misdemeanor. She was sentenced to no time over it, so it would not have thought that she was a bad person that should go to jail whether she committed this crime or not. Thank you. We ask that you affirm the conviction.
Okay, fine.
Thanks much for undertaking the defense.
Thank you.
Can I just ask a question? Are you lending people to the Northern District now?
No, Your Honor. We're the unofficial Center for the Service.
Right.
The AO's been in the Justice Division.
But you're doing it anyway. Keeps you out of pool halls and gangs and things like that.
I think it's a miracle that you came in here on anything but a gurney under those circumstances.
Well, thanks to all the
case
be taken under advisement. That completes the arguments for the day. We'll be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning.